got the director, Pere John Buenaventura, and one of the producers, El Gran Wyoming. And what they're eagerly awaiting is to answer whatever questions you may have. So first question, please. Yes, before, sorry that the other, Pere Portaveña, the other producer, he's mixing his next film, so therefore it wasn't possible for him to turn up to today's press conference. Well, okay, we didn't knew he was coming along, so everything's cleared up. Claudia Schiffer's not here either, but we're not going to say sorry for that. Any further questions? Did you see the film? Supposedly everyone saw the film. It doesn't... Well, okay, I'll tell you what it's about. Well, go ahead. Well, if you've got material, they've got to come. Well, okay, friends, this is a film that the truth has been possible due to the effort of the team, the crew that worked upon it. It's not a film that was produced. In my case, as a co-producer, I must say it wasn't produced in a conventional way, that is to say, to get together a series of sponsors or collaborators or whatever. People that puts the... that puts the money into the project, and Pere Joan Bertura, who is this gentleman on my right, director of the film, we had already worked in other projects with him. He visited me, he said he wanted to do a piece of work that would portray, a film that would portray what was happening. I said, what's happening? Because I live apart from reality, because I'm very busy, and because I drink a lot of alcohol, and I lose touch with reality and day-to-day things. And I said, what's going on, Pere Joan? And he said, well, he was seeing there was an underground movement in the same way in the center of the earth, you know, the temperature melts stone that turns into magma, and then it's projected through volcanoes onto the face of the earth. We were living a situation, a special situation in our country. So he wanted to portray that situation, what was going on. I said, well, okay, well, portray it. And what's that got to do with me? I said, well, if you got money, you could do something. So therefore, that's where the non-conventional side of things comes in. I said, well, no, I'm not going to put any money into this because I haven't got any. And I'm not very interested. But this film, I would like to say, it was made possible only thanks to the effort of a group of people that charging a minimum wage for a long period of time, because it's not been made. The shooting was not conventional. A normal shoot of a film's 8 weeks is something quite spectacular in the times that we're living. This film has been shot throughout a whole year. This means it's been a bit more complicated to make it. So thanks to a minimum crew of people that are not here today with us, and these are the genuine people who are responsible with the film, and along with Pere Joan, who was the shepherd of the whole issue, in an hour and 20 minutes, more or less, more than 200 hours of a reel, what we, as a mosaic, a series of spontaneous social movements, citizens who just wanted to palliate the situation and that the competent authorities were placing us in. And one of the moments of the film, as is explained through one of the people that intervenes, Itziar González Miroz, she has shown a map of the revolt in Spain, full of different movements that each don't know that the others exist. And this happens, for example, when elections arrive, it's a surprising results. No, they were already there. What is surprising that all of these movements and all of these citizens are absolutely invisible for the media. The media normally only show the fireworks in our society, only those moments that may give a bit of brightness to their publications and what they wrote. But there's a life that doesn't appear, at least we live in a parallel world. And through this film, when I started to watch it, and the different edits, I was living in a parallel reality. I thought I lived in the real life, and reality, I was only living the reality of the media, which is not necessarily is identical to what happens in life. So what's surprising about this film, as I say, is a small sample. It's a collage, really, because Pere tried to encompass a complementary spectrum of different movements throughout all of Spain. And he created a vision which is quite clear of who are these people. that only want to help other people without getting any, without any pretension of making a political career or social career, nothing at all. It's surprising because we don't live in the era of, we live in the era of competitiveness and success, as you know, and then the era of productivity. And any job that is not directed in a person trying to get a personal, achieve a personal career, it's as if you're missing the plot. These are invisible people that make the world work despite how it is. If they disappeared from that one day to the next, we would live in a completely different reality. As I was saying, the number is spectacular. No, I was saying, you're explaining things very well. No, mainly what we wanted was to reflect that people that demonstrate and manifest themselves, these people that are very active, are not radicals. These are just very run-of-the-mill people, normal people, shall we say. Activism allows any kind of person to be able to participate and to get away from the fact that I vote every 4 years and that's it, and I don't do anything else. Just like Fontana says in the film, well, we need a lot of work, we need an enormous amount of participation in every different sectors of neighbors association, culture centers, and so on. Yes, we need, and as is always the case throughout history, we've gone through a period of a sort of a holiday period in which the people that have always been in power has taken the power, and they've taken us to a different world. And it's a strange process because it turns out that mankind always was growing, and for the first time it's going downhill, and it's almost like regression. And they say my grandparents' life was worse than my grandparents, my parents, and the same vice versa. But this is the only time that our children will have a worse world than when we came from, without any great catastrophes taking place, like, for example, the meteor that ended the life of the dinosaurs. There's no revolutions have taken place that have transformed society. We're in a period of instauring things. No, we're regressing. We're regressing, and that means that the quality of teaching and education is worse, and above all, that they've deprived an entire generation of a life project, that is, a people to make it ahead in life. And the images that we had of those films of the 1950s, that Berlanga reflected, that young couple that stood in front of a shop window and they were seeing a bedroom, they say, well, okay, this is going to be that way. No, that's it, and it's finished forever. So vis-a-vis this reality, all we have left is that the citizens say what world they want to live in. And in turn, I was saying that we're in a period of a vacational period because the world has always been like that. Everything that we found, someone had already done this. Things don't happen because creationism is a theory which is a bit questioned. Only God, God took 7 days to make the world. After that, human beings have participated. But from where we came from, the entry into the European Union, and I take full advantage to give a great lesson of history, fundamental history, that is to say, there was a moment where we thought we made it to the first world in an irreversible manner, and this made us all relax, as I said at the beginning, and the powers that be took advantage of this. And now there are a series of people that, however, never believe that story. And parallel to this, and this is a feeling that the anarchists addressed in the 1930s, we shouldn't wait for a revolution. Live your life as if you were a revolutionary and that's it. Don't wait for someone to start anything. It's like a snapshot of what's happening, and it's a subworld that will never appear in the media because that's no great interest in it. It's not as if it's orchestrated to silence it, there may be, but just simply this Billy Wilder said, it doesn't. The bad guy is the one that sells photos, so the normal people don't. And these people exist. This film, We Are Not Alone, it's a tribute to all of those invisible people that make this world a better world. And that's the title, We're Not Alone, No Estamos Solos. And I think Jonas Iskenia, the title occurred to him, it talks about this, that the truth is at the end of the day, as occurred in the Westerns, when the caravan turns up, the wagon turns up, they have lunch, and they say, Where did all these people come from? They were already there. These were the people that were there. So this is taking place. The Comanches are here, and they're amongst us. That's the message of the film. And talking about the issue of evolution, as an anecdote, at present, we would like to make the film that we made, probably we would be fined and we would be in jail with the law that's being passed upon getting together. These facts were normal. One walked out in the street with a camera and you were able to portray a reality. That's prohibited now. You can't do it. So you can see, apart from this great physique I've got, I'm 60 years old, and I remember the great controversy the first time they put a camera out in the street, a fixed camera. The lawyers association in Madrid is very right wing, but it was a great scandal because we talked about the getting in, seeing the privacy of people. But nowadays we're surrounded by cameras that are directed, but we can't pull our camera out, so the duel is unbalanced. We can't use cameras in the streets. So therefore, as Josep Fontana said, that he calls Fontana because he belongs to an intellectual world and he talks with the university elite. Josep Fontana is a Catalonian historian. He's retired, but he continues to work day and night. This man talked about 1984 of George Orwell's a novel, of which the story of Big Brother comes out, where everything is controlled by cameras. And he said that he got it right, but he'd made a mistake in the date, that by 30 years he made a mistake. Probably he's probably right, but as it's it's a gradual process, we don't realize what's going on. Now they've lost the plot and they're doing everything they can to create a system that we're subjected to, and only through a shock doctrine, and it creates a real state of terror, like 50% of the young population is unemployed and without great possibilities of making it in any way. And vis-a-vis that reality, the only thing we have to do is to subject ourselves. And that's what we're talking about. And this film is of those people that try to palliate that pain. And vis-a-vis that pain, can we let them talk? I don't know. I'm saying this so that they've got a reason to ask a question, because they haven't asked too many questions. At the back, there are two questions. Here at the back. Yes. You've portrayed all of the actions of activism in different fields. And I would like to know for both of you whether you believe the fact that activism has made it to institutions in cities that are like Madrid and Barcelona in the institution, could it lose its power in the streets? I don't understand that Madrid is a place that is made up by streets. That activism may lose, there are less protests or there are less protests, or activism may lose its power as demonstrators because these people are in the institutions. Okay, I understand now. Okay. No, I don't think so. I think that it's a different moment. I think the moment is where civil society has gotten ahead of things, ahead of political parties and so on, obviously, and I think there are examples of this that people will continue to demand, and the fact that we've got other people who are in the town councils and city council, what we'll do is promote the whole situation. Yes, I agree with what he's saying. I think the citizens that are now setting the pace, that is to say, all the political parties have in their programs things that they never had in the past. And all of a sudden, they've come to agreement. Even the Partido Popular, they say they may do whole primary elections. Well, that would be the end of the day. That would we'll lose our democratic sense. Well, I believe so. I think that in any case, this world will be whatever the citizens decide. It's not the idea that you've got to do this or you've got to do the other. If people are well the way they are, nothing will go. That's it. This portrays the people that do things. And that activism is in the institution. What the question you ask, I said that functions had been lost. That is to say, I'm going to give an example that the media have not highlighted enough. For the last 20 years, this movement, Ana Colau is the leader of this movement. They've been working for many years to help people who have been evicted. But way before that, the political parties were talking about this. There were dozens of bills drafted, popular legislative legislation with a million signatures and a law was passed and then it was changed, and then they've done completely the contrary of the spirit of the law. Years and years have gone by, and they even brought out an ethical code manual to give it to the was given to the banks for the poor people of this to help the poor people in this country. Manuela Carmen in the town hall, she stopped in 24 hours the evictions. Over 25 years they've been ripping us off, ripping the voters off that have been saying yes I'm going to do it. It could be done in 24 hours, as it does. A work that's been done for 25 years. Has anyone calculated the amount of money that we citizens have had to pay for all those attempts of draft bills and debates vis-a-vis this issue for 25 years, when you could stop the evictions in one single day? This woman, she went to see the judges. She said, listen, we totally agree with you. Went to see the banks. They're saying, well, we agree as well. 24 hours, the work of 25 years. I would have highlighted this out just like the win of the Spanish selection winning the World Cup that we see every day. This is very important and interesting, but like I say, there are two realities. The media, which is the one I live in, which is where I inhabit and work, and the reality out in the street, which is completely different. I say this because this has happened it's as if unnoticeably, 100 days in these town halls where we see they've been hassled because there's no activity in the town hall in Madrid. In 100 days, they've done more than what the previous town hall, the people in the town hall did in the last 4 years. But this is not mentioned in the media. Hi, I'm at the back. Wyoming, I've heard you say that Spanish society is a society which has been terrified, and the 40 years dictatorship has left its mark, and it was a society which is deeply afraid. What has happened? Why is it a generational thing? Well, what's happened is that, for example, they brought out a law which is called, they call it a labor reform law, which has abolished the rights of 200 years of fighting in favor of that. That is absolutely unthought of in the 1980s. It was unthought of. They couldn't have done it in any way, but not even with Franco could they have done anything similar. There was a rule they could over, but the abolition of the workers where there's no vacation, where there are 1 hour contracts and then turn out to 7 hour, but this has never existed. There are people without contracts, which is something completely different, existed, but there was no legality in the past. Well, this is what happened, but this has nothing to do with the film. This has to do with my vision of the world. What I was saying is that, of course, November the 20th, 1975, Franco died, and 40 million Francoists. And this is a myth in which we've based our reality. When you scratch a bit, the surface a bit, the reality is completely different. Fernando Trueba, for having said simply that he doesn't feel Spanish, they're hanging him up. It's horrible. And this is when you scratch the surface of the citizens a bit. They've got deep... there's a sociology of fascism that has been driven into us. It's either you fight against that or not. Just the same, like a guy is a machist. If your ideology is against or being a machist or a xenophobe, for example, but your common sense says you've got to fight against xenophobes because we can all be racist and we can try to live the best way we can. And we don't care about anyone else, but we've got a series of things in us that we can't lose from one day to the next because we read a manual. What's happened, for example, in this case that I'm talking about, a person who I admire deeply and has got the whole right of feeling Spanish, French, or a cyclist, undoubtedly, that to try, he's being hung in the public square. That's what sociology is about. This hadn't happened in La Razón, the newspaper, which would be normal, but also in digital websites of the left wing, like El Público or Info Libre. Those people that consume that product, they say in the fora, in the discussions, they're crucifying him. People supposedly that are progressive. So therefore, we come from where we come. We have our background. We're the only country that, unfortunately, fascism triumphed. All the rest in Italy didn't go work, and the Nazis lost it, but here they won, and they spent 40 years under power. This creates a foundation that we're paying for, and in that sense, this special submission, it's not more to us than others. I was seeing Jordi Evole's program, the guy from the the Germany Employers Association, he said that the 600 euro salary minimum stopped the economy and should be revised. Get rid of it, just like the Bank of Spain said, or reduce it. That is, 600 euros for working 8 hours a day, they think it's too much. One of those, some of the people that believe in that productivity, but before it was called slavery or exploitation, other terms which are much clearer and much more descriptive, now they call it productivity. One of the people that are in favor of this is the president of Volkswagen, who's just resigned. Now he's got a yearly salary of 17 million euros, but he's got a pension plan of 28 million euros. This man says that a 600 euro salary stops the economy. It slows the economy down. So we're in the hand of peoples that have got an unthought of level of cruelty. If we are aware of it, okay, but it's still the same. But the citizens have the word for the world they want to live in. You've got to tell these people, hey, with 17 million euros, if they say, well, you make a lot of money. Well, I've got a sensitivity of what is justice. If I see some person get raped in the park, what's that got to do with my current account? And if a man who's working for 20 hours and he's not getting paid, I don't like that. But it's not an act of generosity or condescendence. It's an act of intelligence. I don't want to live in a third world surrounded by towers like in other countries where they've got a mass of people that are completely poor and other people that live very well off. I want my kids to work, play in the street. And this is the world that I come from, and it's a world that I would like to come back to. And this has nothing to do with the film, but the film talks of the people who, vis-a-vis this situation, saying, I'm going to make a parallel world because this, I'm not interested in this world. I would like to ask you about the film. First of all, revolution and the joyful rebellion, because like all of those films, like Patino and so forth, they are tides that are crazy and happy, but they don't give in to be happy because they are seeking the world that you want to go back to. And then when you've talked about those 200 hours in the reel, that's an absolute cinematographic work there. You've talked about your crew. The issue of the editing must have been incredible, the issue of sound as well. I think in the photo call, or the note that was given to us, is the editor's here. Yes, here it is. Can you stand up, the set, the editor? No, because he's very short, but that's the editor. He did all the work in the editing room. What cinematographic work in the editing and the sound, and also the marvelous, painless world, having to reduce all of those hours of footage in the editing room, and all of those references that we've talked to that can be, there's a reason to do this, and I know that Peter is not here, but of the Viridiana, for example, all the way to here, so you've a longer career. And I want to thank both of you. He talks about Peter Portavilla, the other producer. He did Viridiana and Ferreri's film, so he's a person who can't be here today. It's a pity. And he's also involved in the project, and he made me very enthusiastic, despite he's a person that's older than me. There are very few people that are older than me, but I wanted to have lunch with him when we wanted to get him involved in the project, and he said something that blew me away and surprised me. He said, for the first time, things can change. What? Because he went through the whole history of Franco. He lived through the transition, and he was an independent senator during the transition. He's a man who's always been involved in politics. He's always been involved, and he said that he had never had the feeling that something could change in this country, but he was seeing that everything was a journey in a certain direction. But for the first time in his life now, he was seeing. So I wasn't so enthusiastic. I said, do you believe so? Yes. I'm convinced that for the first time in my entire life, there's a possibility of a real change taking place in society. I said, well, okay. Going back to your remark, Obviously, the film has been made by a small crew, but the film, without the people in the film, would not have existed. So, and they have conditioned, to a certain extent, the film. A film of this characteristic, these characteristics, without a script, that there's hardly anything to direct it. It's a film that is made up in the editing room, and it's a film that play, other elements come into play, people who participate there at the end of the day have turned it into almost a musical, and also chance also plays an important part here. If we've been shooting more than 200 hours that have been selected, 200 hours selected, but the shot have been many more, but we are only giving our vision, which is everything. Quite fortunately, many more things happen than what the film portrays. Perhaps with the material that we have, we might make another film, or because we could make another film, like he says. And I would like to also say that I've always been left apart from the film. Thanks to my great physique, I will capitalize most of its success. But I have not intervened in anything, absolutely in anything. Pere Juan, just simply due to an economic issue, talked to me, and since then, I've only in occasional meetings and to achieve more financing. So. I would like to say that having seen the film, because I'm also a witness of the film, despite the fact that I've been involved in it, what I'm very proud of is the result, technical as well as the discourse that the film portrays, and the technical results, that is to say, the editing, photography. We've got Alberto, Sergio, who are people, and all the people in production, Ángeles Aguilera, without whose collaboration, and we take full advantage. We were going to write a book, which is the same title as the film, We're Not Alone, No Estamos Solos, so that the royalties of the book and the good work that this man is one of the great writers of Spanish literature, the fact of the production of the work, all of that will go directly to the film, and we were able to finance it. But that was thanks to the enthusiasm of Ángeles Aguilera, who is a publisher who supported us. This is quite unique. And I would like to say that this entire group, Lucia, who's here as well, Jordina Cisqueya, who in an altruistic manner, in a good moment she had a sentimental relationship with the director. You know, the people take full advantage that they get close to, that he's a movie, makes films, and they access to different things that have got nothing to do with this press conference, but she has collaborated in altruistically, and she has also been an important part for us. And what else? There's a question. I'd like to know how you've selected the movements that the movements that you've selected for the film. Well, very carefully, by the way. In many of the cases, we've talked beforehand with these people. For example, to give you an example, an assembly of La Sorfónica, I told them about my project, my film, and the assembly. They voted whether they supported us or not, and quite obviously they've supported us. So. And there have been cases, all different types of people of flow in Seville. Well, we had to hold several conversations with them because they're very discreet in the way they work. Yes, because in some cases there are legal implications involved here as well. But obviously it's a film which is incomplete because I insist, Itziar González Binoche, who has the map where you will see the film, there's a map where they appear. We can see that we're talking about thousands of different movements, and this woman highlighted and underlined the lack of coordination that existed between people that are next door neighbors, and they don't even know that association exists. So therefore, she said, well, if people were aware of how close they were, the network could be much larger. But obviously this film is always going to be incomplete, because we've taken, in the last minute, several things appear. There was a follow-up in the film, not an in-depth follow-up, but it was shot all of the Coca-Cola strike, which was very long from the beginning, the camp that was set up. And I say this because when you see the story of these movements and you see the repercussion they have and how, socially speaking, just as it appears on the screen, is very, it never appears in the media, because this, imagine, no TV can talk about that strike because it's one of their main sponsors. So therefore, and Coca-Cola, they said, when I worked, and an anecdote, when I worked in Keiga Ken Keiga on Telecinco, I said, we had a meeting, you can talk about what you want. You can talk about the king, you can talk about Aznar or whatever. The only thing you can't talk about is at Telefonica. And I said, you've got to know who your boss is. And so all of this is fiction. The guy in Burger King, well, there's a person that's above all of this, if we like, whether we like it or not, but that's the truth. And that's who you've got to, he pays your salary at the end of the month. So therefore, it's a strange element within the discourse that the film was talking about, because the film took on a life of its own. Perhaps a film will be made just about that. But what is interesting to see how the whole development of that process of that strike took place, how those people were living, in the same way as Pedro Juan Ventura, who's here today. He received a Goya to the best documentary of the film, which was called The Iguazu Effect, that basically dealt with another silent event, which was a Telefonica strike. So therefore, need we say more? So those strikes of those people who weren't in Madrid, there's a town within Madrid in the Paseo de la Castellana, the main street of the next to the Bernabeu Stadium, which is the epicenter of national life, and in front of the Ministry of Industry, a camp of hundreds of people who were there for months on end. Nobody listened to them. A camp, and these were, it was quite dramatic, and it's told in the film, but these were people that were made a lot, they took water, they organized themselves with the tents, they went to Merca Madrid where they got free food. Was a great solidarity of the citizens. The bakery delivery vans gave them bread, and they were able to exist for many months under very incredible conditions. And it was portrayed in the news all over Europe, but nobody knew what was going on here in Spain. And this is quite incredible. Well, have we got anything similar with what happened to Coca-Cola? We might make a film just about that. So therefore, there's so many people and so many things have emerged over these times. It's very difficult to encompass everything. So the selection has been, which is visually quite, it's been quite an impact as well. We can't hear this gentleman other thing that's quite obvious is like the Marea Blanca, the Marea Verde, the green and white tide of doctors and so on and so forth. So therefore, I think people started to think that doctors were in the street because of a labor issue, as if demanding an improvements for them or a salary issue. No. They were defending the health of the citizens, as they defend every day in their workplace. And the same thing happened to the teachers. But I think that people are starting becoming, I hope, aware of these things. Today, the news, they've reduced the budget on education. They want to leave it at 3.7. In Finland, it's 12% of the budget. And Finland have the highest level of education. So there's a clear parallelism of the budget that the state dedicates to education and the results they achieve. So we're at the head of a low culture, low education, school failure, and we're also the country that less money dedicates to it. And referring to the Efecto Iguazu, that film, no TV is interested in showing the film. That's to say, the hand of Telefonica continues to exist and have control. But let's not say it here today, perhaps on this occasion it will. But that's the way it works. You can make a film about the life of Aznar, which is critical, and they will show it. But it's quite curious, because it seems as they've got the power. No. They are the employees of the others, the big multinationals, and they give them work. And well paid for work as well. But these are the strings of power. Someone's saying, wants to say something there, I think. I'm sorry, we can't hear this gentleman without a microphone.
Bueno, hay varias cosas.
There are several things.
De la de la película,
when we were shooting the film, what we've seen is that a movement
que se le dio por muerte muy
which was called to be dead, which was March 15th, continues to grow everywhere. Most of the collectives, every time we've talked to them, they said, no, when I, on March 15th, gave us the possibility, La Solfónica, of creating the orchestra and so on. So, and what about Yayo Flautas, from the power, they wanted to concern, worried about their pensions and to get rid of them from, make them leave society. They continue to struggle now in favor of their sons and daughters and grandchildren. And now I was also, one of the peculiar things that has taken place, that has gone on for 17 years, which is El Cabañal. El Cabañal, it's a suburb in Valencia that they wanted to turn into a tourist area, big hotels and avenues, etc. And they have defended their position for 17 years. It's been an exemplary struggle, which quite fortunately now possible solutions are brought about. This is a clear example that the citizens decide, because La Cabañal, they were going to knock it down. It was a great place. Small fishermen's houses, which were refurbished, all type. It was a suburb which was quite eclectic. There were middle class and workers, but they were very attractive little houses. And the idea was to knock them all out down, and to build very big buildings and make a beach and so on. So from a town planning point of view, it was very. And Barbera had already given it to a series of constructors, as construction companies that were going to do that work. Well, the neighbors said no. The town hall did everything it could. Town council did everything, and it started to buy houses. And once they bought them, they were empty, and they put in families without water and light. They came from Romania, etc. And it also turned into the drug-selling dealing center of Valencia. These maneuvers were quite cruel vis-a-vis the people that are living there, but the people decided to defend their house. 17 years later, it seems that they found a solution and they're going to continue to live there. Those who have seen the film, I don't know whether you noticed in the sequence of El Cabañal, where you can see some walls with brown lines painted on that, that the town hall deliberately, each time they destroyed one of the houses, they painted with those colors to show their presence and their power. See, to undermine people's morale, a group of artists dedicated to clean up that environment, and this was eliminated by the city council. But just so that four or five people can make a lot of money. It's like when the wolves, when the shepherds of the flocks of sheep turn into the wolves. Well, this is the same case. This is a clear example that sometimes things do work, even though the enemy is a big man. This is just a group of neighbors that had practically no power at all, apart from their resistance. Well, they confronted the powers that be of construction and the city council and the community itself that has made their life impossible, and they've won. Or a group of women who get together and have a lunch, and they decide to give an answer to the reform that the abortion law. These women, 15 or 20 women, get together and they start up a movement, which means they set up a train to demonstrate in Madrid. In Madrid, that thousands and thousands of people get together in Madrid supporting these women. Out of nothing, from a luncheon of 20 women, a lot of people turned up in Madrid. So there were buses from all over Spain, trains from all over Spain, from Europe people came, because these women, in the meeting, they said, what do we, we'll have to set up a website. And these were, they weren't very young women, so that wasn't the right time, baby. But they said, we can't allow this to happen at the lunch because of the young women that have to go through that nowadays. The website goes ballistic, they're not a travel agency, so we can't do this. And so therefore, they organize themselves. And what's curious all about this, and thanks to the technology that we have, technology tools, how we can create movements that are very effective, because in Madrid, hundreds and thousands of people, and they got together with him. And when the train arrived to Atocha station, and they were, and the people waved to them on the stations where they stopped, I thought this was incredible that the media, if they had been more interested in it, but this was silenced as well. When they arrived to the Madrid station, there were tens of thousands of people, and through the PA system in Atocha, which was quite moving, they were welcomed. They said, well, let's welcome the train of freedom. And it surprised everyone, so therefore the citizens are there. And at the end, we've got to bear in mind, this is something that they constantly want to tell us, and that is, we are accomplices. We are accomplices of what's going on, and this has to be quite clear in our minds. Simply, and as regards to your magnificent Efecto Iguazu and what you've talked about, TVs, stations, and the supreme owner that Telefonica and the big multinational companies are, that's why in Facebook you say, or you mention the courage of San Sebastian and the San Sebastian Film Festival of showing this film and to put it in the official section, because when I read this, I liked that you consider that your film is in this film festival, and that's quite courageous of the film festival. Yes, well, the fact that we're here in the festival is quite a significant backing, and we want to do, if the film, for example, it'll be premiered in Madrid and Barcelona on the 2nd of October, that's one way of, and then we've got the normal way of promoting the film, but these types of films are left to one side and marginalized, and they're classified as a militant film and so on. Well, a film that perhaps it's a film that's very useful, but you say, oh, what a pain in the ass, let's go and see that sort of films. And then there's another parallel way of doing things, and that is culture centers, associations, neighbors associations, where it's for which the film has been destined to, but where we are playing with the contradiction of both things at the same side. They say to move within the commercial parameters, quote unquote, and then the militant side of things to share the film. The film has been liked very much, and that for us has made us very happy, and it has been selected by for the Amsterdam Film Festival, pre-selected because thousands and thousands, it's like the Oscars of documentaries. In the Gijón Festival, they like the film and they're going to show it, and also there's a demand of many European universities who are claiming the film because they've seen it and they loved it, and they want us to show it to the students. We have not received anything from La Complutense University in Madrid yet, but we'll see. But nevertheless, I must say, I'm going to receive a tribute at the Barcelona Autonomous University, for which I'm happy because I declare José María Aznar was considered a persona non grata. And that makes me great because José María Aznar wasn't allowed there. He went to a conference, the police walked in, and it started to hit everyone. And so the university decided that that wasn't good, of hitting students in front of the authority, the teaching authority. So we'll see how the events derived into, it was full of terrorists and so on and so forth. Well, they consider him non grata. This has nothing to do with the film, but nevertheless, I just tell anecdotes because I've not done anything in the film. I've got to tell you about my life. Oh, you have. You'd made the book, so okay. On the literary side, he's in charge of portraying what he sees. And musical. Yes, I'm author of part of the soundtrack along with Miguel Ángel Ariza, who's a great rock musician. We did a film, a song which is called We're Not Alone. It's a rock, and I played a bit of a guitar. I'm not going to be hired as a rock musician, I'm sure, but at least any further questions? But about life, shall we say, if not. The orchards in Murcia and the menstruation of a frog, for example. That's a very hot issue. No further questions. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen.